Hello, welcome to the Misophonia Podcast. This is episode 2. My name is Adil Ahmad, and I have misophonia. On this week's episode, I share a great conversation I had with Andrew, a graphic designer who lives in Tacoma, Washington. Like many people, Andrew has never really met anyone else with miso in person, and so has never had this kind of a conversation. But as you can tell, he's thought deeply about his experiences for a long time and has some great insights. I think he'll be particularly interested in the positive dynamic he has with his partner. Before we get started, just a reminder that I'm adding some brown noise to the background of all these interviews to help mask triggers, in case you're wondering what that sound is. I'd love to get feedback on that or anything about the show. Just email hello@misophoniapodcast.com or through any social channel. I also want to give a quick shout out to another podcast that was sort of an inspiration as I was researching other podcasts that deal with misunderstood conditions for ideas on interview style, tone, content. And that's the Tourette's podcast by Ben Brown, which features his conversations with people with Tourette's syndrome. I make a really casual reference to it at the beginning of this podcast, but I want to highlight it here because Ben's created a show that's extremely well produced and insightful, even for people who don't have Tourette's, and I hope to achieve some of what he's done with the Misophonia podcast. He was extremely kind when I reached out about my podcast, and I'm grateful for that. Huge fan of Ben and the Tourette's podcast, so check it out. All right, without further ado, hope you enjoy my conversation with Andrew.
So welcome, Andrew. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited that someone's doing something like this. It's definitely different.
Yeah. No, it's very niche, and there's nothing like this. I mean, there's a great, actually, podcast about Tourette's, and I'm like, if Tourette's is a podcast, we should have a podcast too, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's a similar thing. It's like just people coming on, talking about their experiences, and even have a sponsor. And I'm like, wow, I mean, you know.
You got a sponsor already?
No, not us. Tourette. So I got nothing.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what?
Totally. Yeah. No.
Dang, you're doing good, man.
This is totally DIY. Nice. No, this is, yeah. So, So tell me a little about you. Like, where are you located?
So I actually just moved to Tacoma, Washington. I moved from Colorado Springs about 2.5 weeks ago.
Wow. Okay. What brought you there? Like a job or?
So 2 years prior, I lived in St. Louis, moved to Colorado for school. I separated from the Air Force. And I kind of grew up from like my teen years onward in Colorado, and that's where all my family is. So I moved back there for school, brought my wife with me. But my wife already has her degree. She has her master's in historic preservation, and she wasn't finding any work in Colorado Springs or Colorado in general.
Gotcha.
So we ended up finding work out here for her, and neither of us have lived on the West Coast, so we were interested to see what life is like out here.
No, it's nice. I lived many
found
years.
Work and
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, my first job out of school was in Seattle, actually.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a nice part. And even Tacoma is great, too. It gets kind of like a bum rap, but
yeah,
I like Tacoma.
It's not bad. It's I really like the area. Everyone's been friendly so far. It's definitely from how everyone describes it, it's nowhere near as bad as St. Louis was. Like
gotcha.
The certain parts of St. Louis.
Yeah. Cool. And so you said, so your wife is doing work there, you were a student. What's your kind of day-to-day?
Oh, yeah. I didn't really elaborate on that. So I'm still a full-time student. I transferred schools, and now I'm 100% online. So that kind of opened up availability to my wife. Wherever we found work, we could move there. So I am currently in school for graphic design.
Gotcha. And that's great. So you're doing it online. You don't have to go in and hear anybody around you.
No, it's actually really cool. Like they do like lectures online. So it's live. So like you can actually talk, and it's different, but I much prefer it to the classroom personally.
Oh, so is it like a call with a lot of other students on the
it
call
depends.
At the same time, or?
So the first couple classes, which, you know, the standard introductory classes, there was a lot of students because they combined. Like, it was just one teacher would give a lecture to, like, four classes. So there's a lot of people, and it was, like, the text box was just everyone like, hey, what video games do you like to play and stuff? Because, you know, there's no moderation.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But once you start getting into like the actual core classes, it's so much better.
So I was wondering, you get the text boxes, do you also hear their sounds too all at the same time, or is it a little bit more civilized?
Oh no, so everyone's muted standardly.
Gotcha.
Right off the bat. But if he asks a question, there's like a little button to raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, like if he calls on you, he unmutes you and you actually like converse with him.
Gotcha. Or,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Not to, my current teacher's a male, not to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, yeah, that's great. And then graphic design is something you can probably do independently as well. I don't know if you thought about, did you choose this with any kind of misophonia in the back of your head telling you that, you know, here's a career that I could kind of do on my own or not be bothered too much?
A little bit. I wouldn't say it was the driving factor.
Yeah.
But I currently already, I have a job doing graphic design that I do remotely. And it's very nice to be able to like control the environment.
Yeah.
And
we'll get to some of your mechanisms and all that stuff and gear later, armor, I call it actually.
Yeah.
So how long you had misophonia then? Yeah, as far back as you remember.
Mine kind of aligns with, like, from what I've seen that whatever research been done kind of points to is that point where you kind of hit puberty and like your brain starts going through all like massive changes. So I'd say since maybe like 13 years old or so is when it started developing.
Yeah, it seems very average. Do you know, were there particular people who were your first triggers?
Yes, my father.
Again, very constant, yep.
He is chewing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't remember like the tipping point as like when it started happening, which is really weird. It's like kind of when I started, I'm not blind, but like I have really bad vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that transition from being able to see clearly to having horrible vision where you need glasses. You don't realize you need glasses because it's so subtle.
Gotcha.
Until you like once I figured out, you know, what misophonia was, I was just like, this is it. This is me. Yeah.
Did you find out about it back then or later?
Oh no.
Yeah.
So I was already graduated out of high school and in college, my first attempt at college before the Air Force. And my sister sent me, it was like in a meme format almost.
A meme,
funny kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, ha ha ha, this is so you. And I looked into it and I was like, I know you're trying to be funny, but like, I think this is actually me.
So she's okay. So your sister sent you this meme. Haha. Like this is you.
Yeah.
Cause obviously she doesn't have it, right? Or.
Oh no, no one in my family.
But she'd obviously, they'd all have seen you freak out about it over the years. And
yeah. And that it wasn't like a, I don't know. I haven't seen a single person. I've never met anyone that has it. But I've never. I watched this documentary, like Quiet Please, or something like that.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah.
And everyone on there was saying that their family, like when they're being raised, their family never really wasn't supportive of them. It was, they kind of just saw it as like, why are you? That's different. That's not a real thing. It's why are you being
an asshole? Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you being an asshole? Like we're just chewing and eating our food, and you know you got no other option but just to.
Yeah.
Hold it in.
it gets roped into the fingers on a chalkboard, like that. You know, everyone uses annoying thing. Okay. Fine. Yeah. That's the cliche, but this is something on another level. So.
Oh yeah, it's the nails on a chalkboard is just. I mean, yeah, it's a universal sound of like everyone just cringes because it's an unpleasant.
It's a high frequency kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost painful, but misophonia isn't. It's not really pain. It is a little bit, but like, it's not that kind of pain. It's more of like an internal just.
Like a fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Like you're for some reason a sound is making you scared for your life. Like,
right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah, all you can do. Well, yeah, like somebody else in an earlier podcast was saying, she just has to laugh at it almost. It is that. Yeah. It can be that absurd. So, okay, so your dad was your first trigger around puberty. Yep, yeah, that's, yeah, very common. I know you haven't met anybody, but that's very, very common. And then did it, like, expand to other people or other sounds in during those, you know, formative years, or?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not really towards certain people. It's, my dad is just the first one that I realized.
Yeah.
Because his was so bad, like just the way he chewed was so bad. But still, like my sister and my stepmom, they always they wouldn't be as bad if we were eating with my father because
you'd notice.
It's kind of like a hierarchy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this person is like the biggest threat because they're chewing the worst, so it kind of drowns out the other ones.
Yeah.
So they still did it if I was just with them, but.
Did your sister ever tease you? I know she did the meme thing, but was there ever like
so
provoke kind of thing, or
I wouldn't say everybody. My wife certainly doesn't tease me. She's really supportive of that, but my family before even Mr. Pony was even like a name, like a known name, they would purposefully chew. Badly, not,
yeah.
not badly, but like more obnoxiously.
Yeah.
Kind of just to see my reaction, I guess you could say.
That's fun. Always fun.
Yeah, it's always fun.
And so how did, so as a kid, like how did you handle it? You know, you obviously got tons of other shit going on in your life.
yeah,
were you just kind of confused? Obviously, you didn't know, there wasn't a name. Were you just kind of confused or just think that, hey, maybe just, you know, I'm not getting along with my dad or annoyed. I just have an extra annoyance or something.
Yeah, like I didn't really know what to think, honestly.
Yeah.
It's clearly no one else was bothered by this.
Right.
You know, people would say, yeah, of course it's annoying when people chew obnoxiously. And it's like, no, that's not the point. It's not annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean it is annoying, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And it was so weird that nobody else had the same reaction that I felt. And I was like, is everyone just internalizing this so much better than me?
Mm-hmm. Did it affect school? Did it affect, like, you know, exams? And
so
I feel like I luckily got out without it affecting school. If I were to try to do school now, I'd be, well, in a classroom setting as opposed to online, I'd be like, wouldn't be able to concentrate, but I was curious if it affected that anything there for you.
So I am not 100% certain. I don't really have a good gauge for that. I didn't really care for school too much as a kid, sadly. So my grades weren't the best, so I couldn't really tell you if I suffered because of that. That wasn't the reason why they weren't bad. But having gone back to an actual in-class setting for a year in college, I can definitely say that it's really common to just for students to bring snacks and like bags of chips and just bags of anything.
Yep.
And that definitely drowns out whatever the teacher is saying. But I generally like to sit in the front of the class because I'm actually there to learn now.
Yeah. Sitting at the front, though, don't you get the rush of everything coming from behind you and suffocating you? Or I sometimes wonder, is it better at the front or better at the back?
That's a good point. That I never really thought about it like that.
Because I'm sorry, like at the back, the sound is in front of you and you're probably closer to the door. You can just get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, just leave. I never really thought about that. I sat at the front because I wanted
whatever
to focus
works.
More. And
yeah.
I wanted to have, I guess.
Well, you won't get any visual triggers either if you're right.
Exactly,
at the front.
Yeah.
Unless your professor is sick, then you're kind of screwed. But.
And I never knew that was a thing. That up until actually fairly recently, that visual triggers were a thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was something else.
Yeah, I've heard of it more. I heard about it quite a bit more at that convention last week for Misophonia, that people are talking about visual triggers more.
Yeah, like even if there's no sound,
I
personally find eating extremely repulsive. Like just watching someone eat, it looks disgusting. I don't know why. I can eat just fine, and I can chew just fine, but as far as like watching someone else eat,
well, all sorts of disgusting animals do the same thing. We're just another animal. So
yeah.
Yeah. And did you and so so when you're eating, so if so obviously eating is a bit like, as for me, eating is a big you know, has its issues. Did you, are there things you learned to do to get around other than getting out of there? Like, do you eat a lot faster? Do you kind of try not to sit, like try to like not sit down so long at family meals and whatnot? Maybe, you know, try to walk around or volunteer to wash dishes or something, or just deal with it. Or
yeah, my route that I've always taken is to sit there in pain and just have that constant feeling. What I like to do is I'll often, to me, it seems like I'm being very obvious with how I'm acting, but I've never really had anyone call me out. Like, why are you acting so weird? I will just cover my ears, generally have like a finger in each ear and kind of just wiggle them a little bit to drown out the chewing with the muffled kind of just scratching.
Yep.
Sound. That's.
That's what. Yeah. That definitely heard that. People have been also talking about mimicking. So just like if you, and I don't know how this would work in a, you know, in that kind of environment, but copying that sound, like if somebody is triggered by eating chips, themselves eating chips louder.
Oh yeah.
The mimicking is also a coping mechanism that people use. So.
Yes. Yeah. Like just now when I was. My wife and I were having nachos for lunch. Me eating those nachos kind of drowns out her chewing.
Right.
But like I have to try and chew when she's chewing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or turn up the TV that we're watching.
Gotcha.
Pretty substantially to try and mask it in between the whole chewing. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that definitely works to a certain degree.
Gotcha. So how... yeah, so how, okay, so moving on to, I guess, kind of, you know, now-ish, like, how does it affect your life today? Obviously, like, literally today, it affected your you know, your consumption of nachos with your wife.
Life-altering.
Yeah. yeah, so, and then you kind of go into school in an online environment. Is there other situations where you have to deal with it quite often?
There's not... So one thing that my wife has asked me about is she's like, how can you enjoy movies?
Yeah.
Because it's just what you do when you go to the theater is chew on popcorn, you eat popcorn.
And a lot of people just don't. That's a lot of people just don't go to theaters.
Yeah.
And thank God for like Netflix and surround sound. And
oh, yeah. I would have to say that it's with a movie, generally they're loud. To where it only bothers me in those like quiet scenes in between. But I went and saw Midsommar.
I don't know if
you've
seen that.
No, you haven't seen it?
No, okay. I want to see that, yeah.
It is one of the most quietest movies
I would bet.
I've ever watched, and it was painful. It was before or up until everyone like finished their popcorn and their stuff, you know, it was painful just because every noise was super audible. Just because there's almost like no soundtrack to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just like dialogue, but it's not necessarily loud dialogue. So
right,
it was. I enjoyed the movie, but there it was bad. It was not a
Those kinds of movies I would probably wait to see it at home. That's what I think what I'm waiting to do for that one. I'll probably see action movies, but I can't stand action movies. Action so, movies. So I don't really watch them. So it's like I have no other reason to go there unless it's like I have to take the kid to a kids movie. But then I usually hit the try to go to one with a couch and a bar, and fall asleep or something. But yeah, movies. A lot of people just ignore. I tried to use one of those. You know, every movie theater has got those like audio tour kind of headset kind of things that basically. Turn up the volume. It's not noise canceling, but it turns up the volume of and you just it's like a headphone of the dialogue and everything.
They have those?
Yeah, it's federally mandated, like ADA kind of thing. And so you can ask them at the front to get this, like it looks like an audio tour at a museum. And so it's like an audio tour guide kind of thing, and it, I think it just turns up the dialogue, so it's meant for like hearing impaired. And a lot of people have talked about it, you know, on Facebook groups, but I didn't find it that interesting. It turned up the dialogue, but it turned up all the high frequencies of the person talking, and it just kind of sounded kind of gross. Anyways,
I've never seen those at a theater before.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, I didn't really know about it until somebody mentioned in Facebook group for Misophonia, but it is like at every theater. It's like a veteran. It's like a law. Huh.
So they need that for like hearing impaired.
Yeah. So I mean, you might want to try that, but
I could try asking. But
yeah, you could. I mean, it'd be worth trying just for an experience. You don't have to wear it the whole time, but
yeah,
because it's free. So you know,
nice.
So yeah, movie theaters. Okay, so you sounds like relatively you have a you've kind of like negotiated your life in a way that it's manageable, that you're able to manage it more.
I've had a lot of experience with like repressing it.
Yes.
That it still bothers me to the same extent, but I have so much like training just keep it in that it's not going to like destroy my life.
Yeah.
I said like on that documentary, that one woman.
Right.
Like I felt really bad because like she was breaking down every time she was talking about
it. It took me 3 tries to finish watching that movie. I couldn't sit through it. Yeah, it was difficult. Yeah, a lot of people are having a hard time. And so we talked to, what kind of like I mentioned, what kind of gear, do you use any gear? Like headset, I use, you know, I've got different form factors of over the ear, you know, what you're wearing, wired and wireless in case my, you know, batteries run low or whatever. Anything or earplugs? I don't really use earplugs. So I'm curious if what you kind of carry around with you.
So I don't have any gear. Recently, I've seen on the subreddit, as well as on that documentary, that they have those like almost reversed hearing aids kind of things that like drown out and like muffle out certain sounds. I would be interested in getting those. I at the current moment don't like have the funds to buy them, but I'd love to try those out. But as long as we're in the household, like I have some over the ear headphones that like they're sound canceling.
Are those Sennheisers? I think they're the Sennheisers.
Yeah, Sennheisers.
That was my favorite.
Super nice. that's also another thing that I don't know if this is in pair with Misophonia, but my like. And also, like I played music almost my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I have very sensitive ears to just sound in general, and like I can hear tones very clearly, and like differentiate certain tones and hear like undertones and that kind of thing.
More than just perfect pitch, like you can take apart a chord or something and hear that.
Yeah, and like a lot of what I like to do is when I really like a song. I like kind of dissecting the layers of it that when you listen to a song, it's kind of just, it's meant to be everything at once. And a lot of it, and like a lot of pop music, people don't realize that the singer's voice is generally 2 different pitches of the singer singing the same line and paired together. They can't hear those 2 voices. They just hear it as one voice.
Right.
But I can hear like there's multiple layers of the same person singing that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Kind of like sometimes it's artificially done with a chorus effect, but sometimes they do double track it, and it makes it more interesting. More than just harmony, like they literally will repeat the same thing and just to give it a little bit of depth. Yeah.
Just the overlay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's interesting. Yeah. It's. Yeah. I don't know if it's universally like Misophonia people have like perfect pitch or anything. But I've definitely heard that, and also I've heard people that like will go to a concert and hear everything happening in the room, not just the stage, but like behind you, conversations beside you. So and the people around. So your wife is really then the only main person around you, and she's been pretty supportive.
Yeah, she's very supportive. We watched the documentary together. I'd never seen it. We watched it the first time together.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping that it would further explain in like other people's words what it's like, as opposed to mine, because I'm really bad at explaining things. But even before that, I mean, she's always been great.
Do you tell other people as well? Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, it's fine. I'm in the boat of the people that feel really bad about inconveniencing other people to stop a completely normal activity or to be conscious of a perfectly normal activity to compensate for my, and I don't want to use the word need.
Right.
But a very, I don't know how to explain
strong
it.
Strong desire. Not really, if not need, it's a definitely
yes,
a...
it's a very strong desire.
It's not life or death in the real sense, but it definitely feels that way.
It makes you feel that way, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, I tell some people, my wife has definitely told some people, and she's awesome for doing that. Mm-hmm. I still feel a little bad having people compensate that for me, but I am definitely appreciative and very, very happy when they do, because I feel a lot better.
Yeah. And you haven't, and like I think you said earlier, you haven't met any other misophones, right?
I haven't, no.
Gotcha. Well, there's going to be a lot, there's a lot listening to you right now. So that's, and there are quite a few, like the convention gets a couple hundred people. It's going to be in Philly next year. So we're hoping that, I'm not part of any organization committee, but it'll be cool if that kind of like blows it up a little bit even more, because it'll be so close to Philly, obviously Philly, but also New York. So there are a lot of people around, and what they, what we like to do is just like talking about it with somebody else who has it is like, you know, a whole other level. You could probably feel that probably from the documentary.
There was even with the subreddit, when I found the subreddit, it was like, wow, there's a community. That,
it's a big one.
I haven't commented too much on stuff. Every now and again, I do. I'm mostly like a lurker on Reddit, but but if someone's like asking for help, like, I'll give my 2 cents and see if I can help them out. But
and
that's
so,
really nice, you know.
Yeah, no, it's great. And that's, I think that subreddit's got like 23,000. Like, there's the biggest Facebook group just hit 20,000 as well, and growing. Like, there's always new people learning about it. There's somebody new listening to you right now, probably just learning about it right now. So I think it's going to grow. So the holidays are coming up. Do you are you going to be seeing your family for the holidays?
Probably not this year.
Okay.
we spent like all of our money to move out here. So now we're getting back up on our feet. So it'll be a holiday season just together, but that'll be nice still.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think a lot of us are not dreading, but preparing for, you know, preparing for getting our escape
routes. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The worst. Exactly. Oh. I do have a story about a Thanksgiving.
Please, share.
It was the first, and I'm not going to say only, because I have, I guess you could say, like, lost it or lost control a couple times, but it's very rare. Thanksgiving, I was still in high school. It was before I knew what misophony was. I was just confused and angry. So my step-grandfather was in town, like my step-grandparents and my whole like step-extended family came for Thanksgiving. And my step-grandfather was, we were all eating at the table, and I thought my dad was bad. And this was just a whole other level of just obnoxious eating. And I tried to hold it in for so long, but I ended up just, you know, it's like fist slamming the table and just like screaming at him. Looking back, it's like kind of cringy, and it's like I feel really bad that I did that. But in the moment, it's just like, if I don't do this, like, I'm going to hurt somebody. I don't want to hurt somebody. Because like, for me personally, I find, because some people, it's like it's fight or flight is what it triggers. Some people are just like, I need to leave. Like, that's their flight. Their body chooses flight.
Yeah.
Mine is very angry. It's like...
Yeah.
So bad thoughts that I do not want to have.
Oh,
and
absolutely,
do not normally have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes straight into fight. But repressing that causes like crazy anxiety, and like my heart starts racing, adrenaline. Yeah. And so like it hit a limit where I couldn't hold it anymore, and I probably went a little too overboard, and I definitely walked away after that and had to explain that I'm weird. Like I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry. I screamed at you, but you were eating like a madman. So
right. Well, it makes it just makes you do it think irrationally sometimes, and mm-hmm. and that's just I think you know everybody at some point probably whether it's misfortune or not experience something like that.
Oh yeah.
What is your I'm just curious what your step grandfather said or how he responded.
That's I don't have complete remembrance of what happened after I screamed. I know my stepmom wasn't happy.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
I don't remember what my step-grandfather said. I think he was just in shock.
Yeah.
He wasn't quite sure what just happened because he's just eating.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, grandson just screaming
right.
at you.
Right.
When that generally happens, it's kind of like, I guess it is kind of like somewhat of like a safe space in my mind. It just kind of blacks out and it's just like, breathe, relax, like, you're okay. So yeah. I walked away and I don't remember much after that except for my stepmom being pretty pissed.
Mm-hmm. Understandable, I guess, but yeah, interesting. Well, I'm hoping not too much of that happens to folks this holiday season, but you know it will.
Good luck.
You know,
breathe.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, anything else you'd like to tell people who know they have it or are just learning it for the first time and probably relating to what you're going through or what you have gone through?
I would basically just, I guess, don't give up. In my personal experience, it may not be the best route, I guess, but for me personally, just focusing really hard on the problem, and just, I guess, finding that space in your head where you can talk yourself through it can be very beneficial. Just remember to like breathe, and I know when you hear these noises that like that is the only thing on your mind, no matter what you're doing. Everything is gone, and that's the only mm-hmm. noise, and just echoes and echoes, and it can drive you mad. But try to, I guess, focus on that that's what's happening and realize what's going on and take a step back. And I don't want to say repress it, but with me, like years and years and years of repressing it has kind of built up not an immunity, but a resistance.
Yeah.
To negative reactions in response to those noises. So I don't know if that would help anybody, but
yeah. And you also probably know with experience that the sound will be, even though it doesn't feel like it, it will end at some point, whether it's the end of the meal or whatever. And then
there is an end.
It takes an unusual, always a surprising amount of time to kind of decompress after that, but you will.
Depending upon the severity of the sound, a lot of the times it just, even though the sound is over, your mind is still so hyper focused on that sound that it's just echoing again and again in your head.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of faith.
And you're asking, why is this person trying to kill me kind of thing? Because it's that, you know, or destroy mm-hmm. me. So you have to work through that as well. Well, cool, Andrew. I mean, this has been great. This is going to help a lot of people, and good luck to you. And
appreciate it.
And your fight, don't give up.
Oh no, never will. Thanks for doing this. It's a great idea.
Awesome, appreciate it. Hope you liked my conversation with Andrew. Thank you, Andrew. I really enjoyed that chat, and thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe to hear more stories of misophonia next week. I'm actually bringing a conversation with a sufferer living in the Netherlands. If you'd like to be a guest, just go to misophoniapodcast.com and click the Be a Guest link. If you like what you hear and want to support the podcast, let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps raise the profile in their algorithm and lets other people discover the podcast more easily. Of course, you can always email hello@misophoniapodcast.com
follow on Twitter at Misophonia Show, or on Instagram at Misophonia Podcast. The music is by Moby, and until next week, wishing you peace and quiet.